Hallelujah. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you and your faith, is it symbolism over substance? Is your faith based on symbolism or substance? Is it based on how you look and how you act or what's in your heart? Hallelujah. In the old Queen Elizabethan time, the way they used to clean the castles, like there was floor and there was dirt and there was all kind of stuff on the floor. And they would just take grass and put it all over it, cover it up to make it look good. But you know the odor that must have came from that floor? It looked good, but it stunk. Sometimes, you know, we got to tell our little children, we got to teach them to go and wash because they think that they look good, and they do, but they dirty. Amen? God doesn't just want us to look good. He wants to be clean. Amen? It's been said that the number one thing that causes atheism is us as Christians. Us that proclaim that we know God with our mouths, but deny Him with our lifestyles. The unbelieving world looks at that and they say, what do I want to be a fake for? Amen? I want you to know this morning, Donald Trump didn't make fake news. We were fake news before. Amen. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he declared them to be fake news, that the law is fake news. Amen? It's not how you look. It's how you act. It's what you do when nobody else is looking. Come on, somebody. Why have we lost so much credibility with the world? It's because on every Sunday that we hear, look around you. Look around you. There's a bunch of people that's missing that should be here. Amen? But they find so many other things to do that serving Christ is on the back burner. It's not number one or even 1A on the list of priorities. It's somewhere way down on that list. Got to go shopping. Got to get the car fixed. We got to do this. We got to do that. God is somewhere way, way down there until something happens. All of a sudden, he propels to number one. Is your faith symbolism over substance? I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to criticize nobody because I want you to know that there's a little Pharisee in all of us. There's a little Pharisee in all of us. And we got to continue to work and work and work. We can get that stuff out of us. Amen? So could it be that we're missing something in our faith? Could it be that our faith is placed in the wrong places? Do we not understand what God expects from us when we come to Jesus? Could it be that many of us, our faith is based more on symbolism than substance? Sometimes we have deeper problems that take courage for someone to confront us with. In the scripture that I'm going to read, Jesus is going to address the religious leaders of their day about the problem with their faith. The people Jesus was about to address had a faith problem. As I read the scripture, I want you to address through scripture, do you have a faith problem? See, this is self-analysis, amen, through the word of God. I don't want somebody else to turn to somebody else and say, you know, you got a problem. I want you to look inside yourself The Bible says, examine yourself. Amen? We fall into the trap sometimes of thinking that everybody else knows all the rules. And we like to go to people who we think know the rules. I got a problem with something, so I'm gonna come to you, and you can tell me what it is. You got your own problems. The Bible says, examine yourself. I venture to say that sometimes when we put people up on pedestals because we believe that they know the answers, they like that. And they might give you the answer you want to hear so you can come back to them. You know, they have these people who people pay to give you the right answers. And they give you the right answers just enough that you keep coming back and you keep paying. But Jesus has all the right answers, and it don't cost you nothing. These people that are in this scripture traded their love for Jesus for more of God and the rules. Is it possible, church, that we're more concerned with guarding the rules than we're more concerned about Jesus? You see, guarding the rules keep people from coming in. But Jesus, when he came along, he broke all the rules in order to get to people that nobody else wanted to get to, in order to get to the lost and the suffering, in order to get to those that nobody else thought were worthy enough of salvation. I know one thing, I'm going to say it right here. I am not worthy, but he loves me so much. Can you realize that for yourself? That we are not worthy, but he loves us so much. Can we be all that Jesus has called us to be? And in order to do that, we must be clean by God. Do we come to church all the time or occasionally as a symbol of holiness? Or do we come because we love Jesus? In the scripture I'm getting ready to read, it is Luke 11, 37. And I'm going to start with 37. And I'm going to go to about 41. It says, when Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So when he went in and reclined at the table, but the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. Now, Jesus was 30 years old, a little bit more, and he had already been acclaimed as a popular teacher. So while he was teaching, there was a Pharisee on the side noticing what was going on. He was a prominent Pharisee in the community, and he began to take an interest. He said, what a marvel this Jesus man is, though he's a little bit unschooled, according to the way that we school our rabbis. He has some kind of education, and he has a huge following. And I kind of admit that this guy, he do know the Old Testament scriptures. And you know what? He heals too. I think that he will make an interesting dinner guest. Amen? Has somebody ever invited you somewhere because they thought that you would be an interesting dinner guest? An interesting object for them to analyze and go over and try to persuade you over to their side? Have you ever been to one of those time-sharing situations where they want to give you 3 days and two nights or 2 nights or 3 days, whatever they want to give you, if you just come? But there's a reason they want you to come, because they want to get you over to their side. They want you to invest into something. And when you go there, you know, you put a lot of data down on those pieces of paper. And it take a long time for them to come to you, right? But while you're waiting, they want you to go have some cake, some Danish, some coffee, orange juice, some breakfast, something. But see, while you're waiting, they're looking over your paperwork. They're analyzing which agent to send over to you. The one that can speak to you, that you can identify with. The one that can seamlessly say things to you to make you think that this is okay. While you're symbolizing your relationship with Jesus Christ, the devil's analyzing you. He's looking over your resume, and he's seeing which agent to send over to you. So while you think it's okay not to come to church, and you think it's okay not to do the things that Christ has designated for you to do, the devil finds somebody, some agent, with a familiar spirit to send over to you so you can identify with it and think that it's okay. So this Pharisee says, you know, Jesus, he's going to be a very interesting guy. I'm going to invite him over. And when I invite him, I'm going to invite some of my friends too. Now, he wasn't going to invite Gentiles, but he was going to invite people that thought the same, that learned the same, that had the same attitude and disposition as him. Amen? So the stack was set up against Jesus. Let me tell you something. When the enemy puts you in a situation and you walk in there, you better be aware because the stack is already set up against you. Don't walk into any place wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, not knowing that the enemy is trying to set you up. Amen? So this Pharisee had Jesus, he thought, set up. When Jesus did not sit down and wash his hand, the Pharisee was upset because this was going against all the principles that they taught. Amen? Jesus wasn't worried about tradition. Jesus was hungry. He sat down to eat. Amen? The Bible says in Scripture, he sat down and he kind of laid back. Ready to eat. I don't know. He must have been hungry. You know, when you're hungry, you're not worried about tradition. Sometimes we got to remind each other to say your grace. Amen? Because we're hungry. So Jesus was hungry, so he just laid back, ready to get something to eat. Now, those tables that the Pharisees had, they were only about 18 inches high off the ground, and there were cushions behind it. So when I said Jesus just laid back, he just kind of laid back on the cushion. The table was only yay high. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. The word that they use means he didn't dip or immerse his hands. He didn't wash himself, amen, with the water. Now, the Pharisees took this ritual of cleansing very seriously, amen? So when we read that Jesus was not washing his hands before eating, we can't tell everybody that. But we teach each other because we know we wash our hands in order to prevent diseases. But the Pharisees did not wash in order to get rid of germs. They washed in order to cleanse their hands from spiritual defilement, that it might not be taken into the body. Ritual. Amen?
because there was, in quote unquote, something spiritual about it. See, whatever spiritual thing they had about it, that's not what Jesus was concerned with. Amen? So when they took exception, Jesus notices. Amen? So when you take exception to your ritual and your religiousness, Jesus notices.
Jesus and his disciple don't participate in the ritual at the table that day. That's an example for us. I need to stop right there for a minute again. Jesus and his disciples did not participate in the ritual. There are rituals going on around us all the time. And it's important, if we are a child of God, if he is our King Most High, if he is our Lord and Savior, that we don't participate in the rituals that go on around us. Rituals go on all the time at work. Rituals go on all the time in our families. Rituals go on all the time in our communities. It's important that you distinguish yourself as not participating in the ritual. And be prepared to answer the question, what's wrong with you? There is nothing wrong with me. When you go to court, they say, do you swear? I affirm. That's a ritual. But when you say, I affirm, they accept exactly and they know exactly what you're saying. Don't let the devil fool you. The scripture is saying that the Pharisee, in almost an unhost-like manner, shows surprise. And he was like, the word that's used means that he was marveled. He was astonished. He probably remarks to Jesus on the surprise, but he was met with a sharp response. Now here is Jesus. Then the Lord said to him, now you, the Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made you outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. So can you ever imagine going to a person's house to eat? And from a distance, the table and everything looks great. The finest china is on the table. But then you notice that as you get ready to take that cup, there's moldy stuff growing on the inside of them. The food from last week's meal is stuck on the inside of the china. When your faith is based on symbolism instead of substance, you spend your time looking good. But on the inside, it's dirty. On the inside, it's rotten. Have you ever seen these murder trials? People do some things that you can't hardly think of. But every time they're going to see the judge, they got the Bible. Symbolism, they got the Bible. Well, let me tell you something. If they had took this book and they read this book and they followed this book, they wouldn't have did what they did anyway. So the Bible is not for symbolism. It's for substance. If it was so important to them, they wouldn't even be on trial in the first place. This host is surprised that Jesus doesn't wash his hands before eating. Amen? But Jesus tells them that the practice of cleansing on the outside Oh, on the outside. How many of us know what that is, what happens when we go to some place, some restaurant somewhere, and the utensils are dirty? Do you just go sit down and eat, or do you look at what they gave you? Do you look at that knife and that fork? Do you look at that cup? Do you look at that plate? Do you ever send it back? Let me tell you something. When you are paying for something, you're supposed to get what you pay for. Amen? Now let's look at Jesus. He paid on the cross. He's supposed to get what he paid for. He didn't pay for symbolism. He paid for substance. Pharisees. We got some Christian Pharisees. Come on, somebody. Wickedness, robbing, more worried about how you look than what you're about. Somebody can come in here looking about nothing. We don't want to bother with them. But let me tell you something. That's just the person God wants us to be bothered with. Amen? These people that come in here looking so good, they too good to touch. Too good to talk to. God gets a hold of you. All of that stuff is out of the window. All of that stuff. I'm going to talk about my sister, and that's not to talk about you, but you're here. But I want to say I bless your name for what you did last week. You walked in here symbolically, but God did a work in you. You walked out of here with substance in the name of Jesus. Everything that was covering was thrown off. Jesus rolled back everything and said, my child, I want to see you. Don't you know he want to see you? He want to hear you. He want to deal with you. He rolled back the stone. He ain't rolling away stuff on you. Make it plain. Hallelujah. Jesus calls on the Pharisees to see the obvious, that cleaning must occur outside, but it must happen also on the inside. Cleaning is not just around, but it's inside. We must clean the whole vessel, not just the part that's obvious. You ever clean your house when you're a child? Your mom or your dad or somebody tell you, go clean up. You clean all around what you think that they could see. But then all of a sudden, mama come in and move something and say, did you see the dirt that was behind here? You need to go do it again. You need to get it up. God is saying to some people today, he's looking at you, and he's looking at the dirt that's all around and behind you. You think nobody can see it, but God sees it. Real cleaning is the whole vessel. Oh, hallelujah. Not around it. Not around it. Everybody can do the around thing, but Jesus does a thorough job. He wants a thorough cleaning. He wants thorough dedication. He wants thorough truth. The Bible doesn't say around about the truth will set you free. It says the truth. There's no prefix. There's nothing else behind it. The truth and nothing but the truth will set you free. What does that mean? That means you get honest with yourself. Don't look for somebody else to tell you what you need to know. Look at yourself. You know what you're doing. You know what you're not doing. It ain't what pastor knows. It's what God knows. It ain't what pastor did. It's what he did. It's not what I'm going to do. It's what he can do. And he can only do it if you allow him to. He's such a gentleman. Ain't he? Come on, he's such a gentleman. He's such a gentleman. We want to make people do things. You can't make nobody do nothing. And he's such a gentleman. He can make you do anything. But he's such a gentleman. We want to impose our will on people, places, and things. He lets it go. You know the person that robbed you a few years ago? Now you see them, you want to get revenge on them? Right? We want to get revenge on them because we ain't never let go and we ain't never forgot. We rob God all the time. He let it go. He lets it go. We sin against him all the time. Such a gentleman. You know, I love people who say when they get in situations, what would Jesus do? You ain't Jesus, so you ain't gonna do what he would do. I want to make that clear. We are not him. And we don't think like, what would Jesus do? And we can't do what Jesus does. But we can ask him for help. He is the source. He is the power source. He is the creator. You know the creation can't be better or bigger than the creator. I'm going to say that again. The creation can't be bigger or better than the creator. Don't we think that way? Sometimes. Do we think that way? Do I have people who think that way? I ain't got enough people. I'm going to have to break it down. Do I have to break it down for you? Do I have to break it down for you? Huh? I'm going to break it down for you because I need people to wave their hand like they know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, you see people say, oh, wave your hand, and people wave their hand. I need some people to wave their hand like they know what I'm talking about right now. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. The creation is never better or bigger than the creator. You tell your children, I made you. Because at that time, you're telling the creation that they ain't bigger than the creator. There's a story about a train that went into the river because the drawbridge was open and 18 people died. The engineer said, I put up a red flag warning the train driver that he needed to stop. And I gave him time to stop. But the train engineer said the flag was white. And therefore, he felt the bridge was safe and ready to cross. When they looked at the flag was red. But when you looked at it from afar, it was faded. And it looked white. Our testimony about who we are. It's faded. And that fade caused people to get misdirected on what's good and what's not good. What's Christian, what's not Christian. What it means to love the Lord and what it don't mean to love the Lord. What it means giving your all to the Lord and not giving your all to the Lord. Amen? Because there's people looking at us doing things that we do saying, I'm just like you. Don't the enemy always want to side up with you? I'm just like you. I'm just like you. People want to tell you that the God that they serve is the same God. There's only one God. How many agree with that? I do. But there's only one way to talk to that God. That's where we disagree. Amen? We can only talk to him through him, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross. And rose again on the third day. Amen? So I want to, God doesn't care about your religion or your practices. Do you know our children are looking at our practices? I said your children are looking at your practices. They're looking at your religion. There's a song I used to listen to when I was younger. About a boy, every time a young man, every time he asked his dad to do something with him, his father never had time. Never had time. Finally, the boy grew up, and now his father recognized that he's a man. And the father says, hey, son, let's go do something. And he says, I'd love to, Dad, but I ain't got the time. And then the father realized that the son grew up just like him. Some of us are doing things that are damning our future, the future of our children and our children's children. So while you're on your knees and you're praying, Lord, help my children. Oh, help my grandchildren and my children's 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 children's. Help them, Jesus. What are you showing them? What are you teaching them? What is your religion or your relationship with the Lord teaching them? Is it symbolism or is it substance? I want to know where we are all at today. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5 says this. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revealers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, ungodly, unloving, irreconcilable. Let me say that again. Irreconcilable. Malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Are we holding on to a form of godliness that gets us to church when it's convenient? A form of godliness that gets us to pray when it's convenient? A form of godliness that gets us to read the word when it's convenient? A form of godliness that we give when it's convenient? A form of godliness to serve when it's convenient? If we are finding ourselves constantly putting everything ahead of Jesus, maybe our faith, somebody say ouch, has no substance. If we are not being transformed daily into the image of Jesus, then maybe we need a faith lift. Not a facelift, a faith lift. When you have a facelift, they put you under, they put you out, and you go under the knife. When you have a facelift, God is going to put you out, he's going to put you under, and that knife is going to cut all of that unnecessary fat and stuff that you don't need that is taking your faith away from Jesus Christ. And sometimes he does it, and you don't know why he did it, but later on you figure out that's why God did what he did. Amen? You don't know the thoughts of God. You don't know why he does the things that he does. But there's a reason for it. And the son tells me, we'll understand it better by and by. Don't you know we don't have to answer to you right then? We like to get an answer right away. He's not answering. We don't even answer each other right away. We say, let me think about it. Well, he don't even have to think about it because he already knows. But he loves you just as much because David said, who is man that you are thinking of him all the time? That's the word, mindful. When you're mindful of something, it's always there. Amen? When you're mindful, it's always there. That God is mindful of you. He's such a gentleman. Hallelujah. I can't get away from that. That he's mindful of you. Little old me, big old you. He's mindful of us. Maybe we need to get serious about following Jesus. I'm not concerned with so many of our brothers and sisters who are not participating in worship with us each week. I'm not concerned about them. I'm only concerned that we need to be praying for them. After a while, I might ask you where you at, where they at. I haven't seen them. But if I don't see you, I don't need to know what you're doing every week. But I need to be praying for you every week. Oh, hallelujah. Because when you're wondering what something is every week, then you're being like mindful of them. Don't be mindful of what they're doing. You pray that God has got them right here. That they're doing what God wants them to do. Because he's in control. Sometimes people work every other week. And they're not here. But you pray for them while they're on their jobs. Sometimes people be running all week long. Or could have been sick all week long. Pray for them when they're not here. Let's care enough for one another to encourage one another. Jesus wants a relationship with each and every one of us. He wants a relationship that leads you closer to him. He don't want a relationship that leads you closer to church. He don't want that. He wants a relationship that leads you closer to him. The song today said, Jesus, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. Do we truly believe that it's all about him? You see, when you it's all about him, nothing else matters. When it's all about him, nothing else matters. How somebody looks at you, it don't matter. What somebody might say about you, it don't matter. What somebody wears today, it don't matter. What somebody smells like today, it don't matter. Because it's all about him. Jesus didn't go around everybody that smelled like brute. He didn't go around everybody that smelled like whatever kind of perfume you got out today. He went around those stinky, smelly people. Because he came to wash them from the outside, but on the inside as well. And if they were clean on the inside, he didn't even care about the outside. When he raised Nicodemus, he stunk. But he wanted to raise him from the dead, and he was worried about the inside because they said, don't go in there. He's been dead for days. He stink. He walked right in there. Ain't too many people going to walk in there when you stink. People can't stand you. You can't even stand yourself when you stink. You don't even want to look in the mirror. When you stink, you don't want to talk to nobody when you stink. But Jesus says, come on here, my little friend. Let me hug you. Let me kiss you. Let me show you that you are mine and I don't care. That is substance over symbolism. Being religious and not having the relationship with Jesus is going to lend you and lead you to a dead end. And some of us are going real fast to that dead end. You know, sometimes you can go so fast. As you're approaching that dead end, you can see it, but you can't stop. I don't know if you ever was driving and you see something and you couldn't really stop. But somebody took hold of them brakes. Somebody turned a situation around that even though you hit it, it wasn't a dead end, but it was the end of something. There's some people today, it's got to be the end of something. But it's not a dead end. Some of us are running into that dead end. That's going to be a dead end. But there is a man called Jesus that no matter how fast you're going, he can put on the brakes. No matter if you hit the wall, you won't be harmed. Oh, there's been some times, there's been accidents that I've had. I had an accident. My wife made sure that that car was parked in front of the house. So every day I got out of the house, I looked at the car. Upset me to no end. I can hardly talk about it. But she wanted me to see that car. Because she wanted me to see what I was doing to myself. And it wasn't just myself. It was her and everybody else in my family. Sometimes you got to have that thing right in front of you so you can see where you were going. We don't want to see where we're going. So we put blinders on. We put shades over our eyes. We can't look straight. You talk to somebody, you're looking this way instead of looking right at them. Jesus is looking right at somebody today. He's looking right at somebody today. He's saying, get rid of the symbolism. And get some substance in your life. Get some faith. So I want to be clear about this. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not coming to church. There's only one way to be made right with God. And it comes from outside of ourselves. It's inside of ourselves. We can't make ourselves good enough, but we must humbly come and seek salvation. He gives it only when you ask. He can make each one of us have salvation. He can do like this. And we can all have salvation. But you got to ask for it. It requires something of you. Amen? You must participate. You know how people have trophy wives? He don't want no trophy Christians. I don't know where that came from. But he don't want no trophy Christians. He's got a job for each and every one of us to do. Amen? He has an assignment for you. He's gifted you with a talent and ability to do something in the kingdom. Let the work that you do speak for you. So what's speaking for you today? I want to know. What's speaking for you today? What's speaking for you? If you die today, if your calling card was called, and you stood before the Lord, you stood before God, and he says, tell me about yourself. What speaks for you? What would you say? What would you say? Would you try to lie? I'm going to do that face again so you can see it. If he said, what speaks for you? Would you try to lie? What would you tell him? What would you say for yourself? If you ever been in a situation where you knew somebody was trying to lie to you, and we've all been in that situation, because we're born liars. So the little children, the sweet little children that we have, and grandchildren, and great-great-grand, and you know they lie to you. And how do you look at them? Sometimes we say, like that, what you say? But if Jesus called your name today and asked you, what do you have to say for yourself? What would you do? He don't want to know how you dress going to church. He didn't want to know that you held the door open for people. He don't want to know that. He want to know what work that you do towards pointing people to the kingdom. Did you witness? Did you minister? Did you serve or wanted to be served? Were you so hung up on your title that you couldn't do what you were supposed to do? What is it that you've done? Because everybody in here's got the answer for themselves. Mama can't answer for you. Daddy can't answer for you. Sister nor brother. Auntie nor uncle. We all must give an account. The Bible says we have to give an account for ourselves. Is it symbolism or is it substance? I'm going to ask you to stand this morning.